And welcome to the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast. I'm your host, Gerald, the End Time Shofar. On today's podcast, we'll be dealing with prosperity gospel heresy versus early Christian teachings on prosperity. Now, we see within the roots of the prosperity gospel has taken place within the Word of Faith movement. It's actually infiltrated some charismatic circles, and some Pentecostal church circles have incorporated the prosperity gospel. We're going to look at within this podcast how what these prosperity preachers preach, which is a heresy, versus what early Christianity actually presented and taught, and some of the early Christian church writings that talks about the snares, potential snares or dangers of prosperity. Now, let's look at scriptures to set the foundation, what scripture has to say. We're going to look at a couple of passages of scriptures. When we look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 24, it says, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money," or in some interpretations, "and mammon." All right. When we go up to Matthew chapter 6, when we look at verses 19 through 21, it says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there is your heart will also." All right. Then when we move on, we look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. It states, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have." And of course, the most famous scripture, it's not, money isn't the root of all evil, it's the love of it. When we find this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10 says, "The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil." So we see in a lot of Word of Faith movement, some, again, Pentecostal and charismatic circles, they incorporate part of, if you sow a seed, you're going to reap a lot of money. I've seen instances where people have done offering lines, and this one so-called bishop stated, if 100 people are people that will come up and give $100 in this offering, God's going to make you a millionaire. And to this day, I don't think not one single person who sold that seed of $100 hasn't become a millionaire yet. So we see a lot of manipulation and other things that take place, which begins to go into the realm of witchcraft, where it's manipulation and other things that are taking place versus the move of the Holy Spirit. You see where some of these prosperity preachers, they put certain dollar amounts. I believe it was Rob Parsley years ago used Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. And he stated, if you give $54.17, you sow the seed, God's going to bless you. I believe Paula White has even been guilty, I believe when COVID took place, sowing a seed of Psalms 91, sowing $91. And we see a lot of these gimmicks and a lot of other these things that take place. So within a lot of these prosperity preachers and teachers, they use the misuse of 3 John verse 2 when it's talking about Gaius. A lot of these false prosperity preachers use this particular scripture, and they try to direct it upon all Christians. But when we look at that, John is writing not to all Christians. He's writing specifically to Gaius, which they hermeneutics is interpretation of the scripture. So when they are misinterpreting the scriptures to fit their greed, to fit what they want the word to say, to manipulate people into sowing into their pockets and not the kingdom of God, but building their own kingdom. So it's in reference to Gaius, which is singular, not plural. So when we look at several different writings of these famous prosperity, wealth, health, and prosperity preachers and teachers, we can look at several writings that's well documented with Benny Hinn within his book, Rise and Be Healed. We see Gloria Copeland is another person in her book, God's Will is Prosperity. Rob Parsley, which we already mentioned in his book, Your Harvest Has Come. We also see within Joseph Prince, within his book, Healing Promises, he states that. Charles Capps, in his book, The Tongue and the Creative Force. Joyce Myers, which famous female Word of Faith teacher, and her writings in her book, Prepare to Prosper. Oral Roberts, his Miracle of Seed of Faith. Even with Oral Roberts, years ago, he had talked about if he didn't receive X amount of money, that God was going to kill him, and just some other things, ludicrous things that have taken place. Creflo Dollar is another one within his writings, The Image and Righteousness, You're More. So we see this is just a long line or long list of these prosperity gospel preachers who misuse the word to enrich themselves. So we're doing this podcast because we're living in the last days, and Jesus, his own word said that one of the signs that you see before his coming, that there will be many false Christs and many false prophets. So you got a lot of people that call themselves quote unquote prophets, and most churches, when they have these prophets come in to the church, primarily they're funding these church services by giving personal prophecy, which a large amount of when you see this taking place isn't from the source, isn't the Holy Spirit. It's coming from either clairvoyance or even divination. So they're prophesying to the hearts of the person desiring certain things. They're picking up certain vibes and clairvoyance and other things and all. And they're using that. If you sow a seed for this prophecy, then God's going to bless you. And it's all material things. It's not something that lines up with the word of God. So we have to be very much aware, and we have to be, if you're going to be woke, you better be spiritually woke in the Holy Spirit, that you're not deceived in these last and evil days that we live in. We have to take an account when we have to test the spirit. So people become accustomed of following these prosperity preachers, following these prophets and all, and not leaning and hearing the Holy Spirit, which leads and guides you in all truth. They're believing that if they do certain mantras and sow a certain amount of money, that is going to make them rich. Now, God doesn't even mean that everybody can handle being a steward over a large amount of money because it potentially can lead them astray, have them be puffed up in pride, their wealth and their material gain becomes an idol, and it forces Jesus, instead of Jesus being number one, their material things and their money becomes their actual God. So that goes back to what we read in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. You can't serve two masters. So if you're serving money, your main thing is serving money, not serving the kingdom of God. There's a contradiction there. But the prosperity gospel makes you think that if you're living in a large house, you're driving a nice car, then you have the favor of God. You go to a third world country, people are living in borderline poverty or even in poverty, and they don't have all the material things, but they have a strong faith in God. You can't tell them that God loves them less because they don't have as much material things than somebody that may live here in America. So we have to make sure that the true gospel is being preached, but people cater to the prosperity gospel because it's rooted in the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And when we find you have all those elements, then the love of the Father is not in you. Your love for God begins to wax cold. Even in the book of Revelation, it talks about the church of Laodicea, talks about how they were very much prosperous materially, but they were very much poor spiritually. They were blind spiritually. So prosperity does not give you our material things, or quote unquote, the prosperity gospel is not an actual sign of God. Now, when we look at some of the early Christian writings, when it talks about prosperity or the snares of prosperity, here's a writing from Hermes. He writes, "These are those who have faith indeed, but also have the riches of this world. When tribulation comes, they deny the Lord on the account of their riches and business. As a result, those who are rich in this world cannot be useful to the Lord unless their riches are first cut down. And learn this first from your own case. When you are rich, you were useless, but you now are useful and fit for life." So he's talking about refraining from business, and you will avoid sin. Those who occupy with much business will also commit many sins, being distracted by their business affairs instead of serving their Lord. So even when the rich man approaches Jesus and Jesus is having a conversation with them, Jesus told him to go and sell everything that you had. And then he ended up walking away sad. Now, on the flip side, and a lot of these Word of Faith churches and all, they will welcome in the rich man and were like, you know, you don't have to give up all your riches because, you know, you can be a blessing to the kingdom. And even with the NAR, the New Apostolic Reformation, quote unquote, putting people, you can be an apostle in the business world. And that's where God wants to put you as an apostle in the business world, which isn't based on scripture anyway, but I've heard people who proclaim, well, I'm not an apostle in the church, I'm an apostle in the business realm. And that's how I operate, and I do all these other things and all. But we have to really make sure that we are lining up with the word of God. So when we also look at Cyprian, one of some of his early Christian writings, which at one time he is a wealthy man who gave all of his goods to the poor to become a Christian. He admonished members of his congregation with these words. He states, "A blind love of one's own property has deceived many. How could they be prepared for or comfortable with departing this earth in persecution when their wealth fettered them like a chain? Therefore, the Lord and the teachers of good things for warning for the future says, if you will be perfect, go and sell all you have and give to the poor, and you should have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." And that we find this in Matthew chapter 19, verse 21, which I already mentioned, Jesus' conversation with the rich man. He says, "If a rich man did this and they would not perish by their riches, heart, mind, and feeling would be in heaven if treasures were in heaven. He also had nothing in the world and would not be overcome by the world. He will follow the Lord unfettered and free as the apostles did. But how can they follow Christ when they are held back by a chain of their wealth?" So he states the chain is wealth. Actually, it is they who are owned. They're not the lords of their money, but rather the slaves of their money. So here, Cyprus states that you're not lords of your money, but rather you're a slave to your money. It has made you blind. It has ensnared you. It leads you away. It makes you make certain compromises and all. So if you're primarily more interested in material things and what the prosperity gospel presents, it presents a snare, it presents compromise, because when persecution and things come, holding to the principles and holding to the word of God, you're going to fold like a folding chair. You're going to fold immediately, because you don't want to compromise your money. You want to continue to make your money. You want to continue to maintain status where it may cost you something. So we look at other writings, the writings of Clement of Alexandria, which he states, he says, "So the use of cups made of silver and gold and the other ones inlaid with precious stones is out of the place. The elaborate vanity, too, of the vessels, it etched glass and more apt to break on account of the art, teaching us to fear while we drink is to be banished from all well-ordered constitutions. Bed clothes of purple and other colors difficult to produce should be banished. Tell me, does the table knife not cut unless it's studded with silver, unless it's handed is made of ivory? Will the lamp not dispense light because it is the work of potter, not of a goldsmith? I attest that you trundle, bed provides just as much rest as does ivory couch. The Lord ate from a common bow, and he made the disciples recline on grass on the ground. Furthermore, he washed their feet and girded with the linen towel. He lowly minded God and the Lord of the universe. He did not bring down a silver foot bath from heaven." So here's the mindset of early Christians. They're very much into the community and working the believer, the messianic community, the community of believers, the called out ones, the ecclesia, the church, working as a community and us so much into worldly wealth and other things and all. So this is diametrically opposed to what prosperity gospel tries to teach and tries to present. And we're going to look at other writings from Clement of Alexandria. He has this also to say. He says, the good man, being temperate and just, treasures up his wealth in heaven. He who also sold his worldly goods and given them to the poor finds imperishable treasure, where there is neither moth nor robbery. It is not jewels, gold, clothing, or beauty of a person that are of high value, but virtue. And then he writes, delicacies spent on pleasures become dangerous shipwrecks to men. So here we see the dangers of being prosperous materially and other things and all, and the pursuit of money and not pursuit of the things of God and the kingdom of God. It can lead men to being shipwrecked. And you see people who get involved in this, and they start to push prosperity gospel. And this wicked heresy has infiltrated the continent of Africa. You can go on YouTube and just other things and all, and you can see how this gospel has corrupted some of these African nations, where the prosperity gospel has become a focal point. I remember watching on YouTube, it was a guy from Great Britain that worked for the BBC, went down to South Africa, and he was doing a documentary on, I believe, this quote-unquote pastor slash prophet there in South Africa. I believe the guy's name was Reggie. And it just showed how much of this prosperity gospel has corrupted people on other continents. This guy was dressing in $1,000 suits, driving, being chauffeured around in a Mercedes, and was treated like a king, and his members living in these lowly townships, just having bare minimum means, but just giving money, giving money, giving money. And he's living high on a hog. So you see that they really prey upon people, even when there you see people that come on TBN and some of these Christian television networks, where they're telling people to give, and then God's going to bless you, and God's going, you give, you sow this seed, God's going to heal you. You sow this seed, God's going to make you a millionaire. We see that early Christianity did not teach this, and this is, this prosperity gospel is very heretical and very damaging, and can leave people down a broad road to destruction and straight to hell. So we have to keep that in mind. Some other things that Clement of Alexandria had to say about prosperity or riches. His riches are then to be partaken of rationally and given lovingly. So if you're going to have money, be loving, rationally, giving it lovingly, sowing it into missions, sowing it into orphanages, sowing it into people that are in need, sowing it into the homeless, just other things and all, not just sowing it into a special offering to line, to think like, if I give this, then God has to give me XYZ because this quote unquote prophet told me if I sowed $1,000 seed offering that God is going to make me a millionaire. It does not work like that. It's not hocus pocus and other things and all. Like I said earlier, when you start to borderline into the realm of the occult and witchcraft, when you start placing certain declarations and certain demands of sowing a certain amount of money, that God would make you this quote unquote millionaire. Here's some other things that Clement Alexander had to say. It says, the good man being temperate and just treasures up his wealth in heaven. He who has sowed his worldly goods or given them to the poor finds imperishable treasure where there is neither moth nor robber. It's not jewels, gold, clothing, or beauty of a person that are of high value, but of virtue. I believe I already read this, but I'm reading, just making another point. But we have to keep in mind that God doesn't want your money. He wants your heart. And if he has your heart, then you're going to give to the kingdom. God, you're going to be unselfish. You're going to sow again into people that are doing kingdom ministry, propagating, getting the gospel out onto all nations. You should be, instead of like dedicating your money to these prosperity preachers that you may see on Christian television, or you're going to these revivals and these quote unquote false prophets and false apostles are telling you to sow a seed for a prophetic word or for a healing. We need to take spiritually into account those who are out there doing the grunt end of the work, that are out on the mission fields, that need to be funded, and just other things and all we need to take into account. Even doing missions within our own country, going into low economic areas, whether it's out in the Appalachians or in your inner cities or in your barrios or anything like that, should put resources and things like that to help people and bring in the gospel. Here's a few other things I want to present in early Christian writings. This is Tertullian. He states, I doubt that the leg that rejoiced of the anklet will allow itself to be squeezed into the shackle. I fear that the neck beset with pearl and emerald nooses will give no room to the broad's word. For that reason, blessed ones, let us mediate on hardships so we will not feel them. Let us abandon luxuries and we will not regret them. Let us stand ready to endure every violence, having nothing which we may fear to leave behind. It is these things that are the bounds which retard our hope. So here we see Tertullian talks about the luxuries are the things that will impede us from having hope, because it becomes a snare. So we see how people carnal-mindedly see the prosperity gospel preachers and these prophets who push prosperity. It becomes their idol because they see the material things, they see things. And I've seen so much in church. I've seen where quote-unquote prophets will come up and tell people, if you sow X amount of money, God's going to make you the next, which is kind of questionable anyway, Tyler Perry. He's going to blow you up and you're going to be writing plays and just, and people feed into these carnal things and call it the Holy Spirit. And it's not the Holy Spirit. We have to be able to, as Christians, especially living in these last days, I'm about ready to wrap this up. We have to be spiritually minded. We have to give an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. And we have to be able to discern what source is it coming from and be able to test and everything, test the Spirit. You don't even see where in churches how the senior pastor and his elders don't even follow the proper parameters when quote unquote prophecy goes forth. You're supposed to be able to make sure you judge it, not really embrace it and accept it immediately. But a lot of times what ends up occurring is the pastors have greed within their own hearts. So they invite people that are like-minded with them, that feed into their greed, and it's a racket. So we live in the last days. You better know Jesus for yourself. You better know the word for yourself. Obviously, what we establish in this podcast, that what prosperity preachers preach and teach and what they write definitely contradicts what early Christians taught about prosperity. Early Christians were much more grounded in the Word of God, and they can see the potential snares of prosperity and materialism with the damage that it can cause. This is the End Time Shofar, End Time Bible Prophecy Podcast, signing out. God bless. Please subscribe to our podcast. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Please subscribe to our blog and our Facebook page. God bless. And if you enjoy our podcast, give us a 5-star rating. And if you enjoy listening to this on YouTube, please put a like and again, subscribe. God bless and pray for you as I pray. I'll pray for you as you pray for me. And you guys have a blessed day.